All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, please. Luke 22. I want to read just one verse and use that verse to launch me into the message this morning or tonight that I want to give you. I'm going to entitle the sermon tonight, "Satan Hath Desired Thee." And it doesn't matter who thee is, Satan has desired you. He wants you. His desire is to drag your eternal soul off to hell if he can. But if you're saved, he cannot do that. Then if you are saved, the devil still wants you. He wants to ruin your effectiveness. He wants to make sure you don't read the Bible or don't come to church. He wants to keep you upset at everybody. He just doesn't want you to have any victory whatsoever. And so it doesn't make any difference if you're saved or you're unsaved. The devil desires to sift you as wheat. Now look at verse 31. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, thank you so much for giving us the blessed privilege to open the Word of God and to look at its truths. And we thank you for what the Bible teaches us about how we can resist the devil and how we can stand against his wiles. And Father, we're thankful that we don't have to be dragged down by the devil. There is a pathway to strength and victory, and I pray you'll help us tonight as we think on these things. I ask you to give us attentive minds and hearts tonight, and may the Lord be honored in what we do. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. In Defoe's great masterpiece, Robinson Crusoe, there is a part where Crusoe is teaching his man Friday in the doctrines of the Christian faith. And when he got to the part where Crusoe was teaching Friday about the devil, he told him how the devil was God's enemy and how the devil had used all of his malice and his skill and his ingenuity to defeat the work of God and to ruin the kingdom of God in the world. And Friday looked at Crusoe very puzzled, and he asked this question. He said, "Is God not stronger than the devil?" And Crusoe answered and said, "Yes, God is indeed stronger than the devil, and he is above the devil, and therefore we can pray to God to tread him, the devil, under our feet." And Friday then looked even more confused, and he said to Crusoe, "Well, if that's true, then why doesn't God just kill the devil, so we no longer have to deal with the devil's evil?" And at this point, Crusoe was kind of stumped. In the book, you can see Crusoe stumble, and he did everything he could to act like he did not hear the question and was hoping that Friday would not press him on the matter. Now, Tyler, stop. Now, I will not tell you again. You understand? Stop. There's no giggling, and that's it. Now, stop. We clear? All three of you, we clear? The answer is yes, sir. Okay, no more. All right, now back to the sermon. Crusoe was stumped, and he knew that he didn't have an answer that was going to satisfy Friday. And so this time he tried to divert and tried to get Crusoe to forget all about it, but that Crusoe just, he wanted to know. He was curious. And so he just kept pressing and pressing. And finally, Crusoe said, well, one of these days, in the last days, God is going to indeed punish the devil. And he's going to send him to a judgment, and he will eventually be cast into the bottomless pit. And so Friday said again, well, why doesn't God just kill the devil now? Just kill him now. Why wait? Why not just do it now? And that question that Defoe put in the mouth of his uneducated fictional character is one that has probably come to your mind and to mine on more than one occasion. Why not just do away with him now? You know, why do we have to fight continually against the devil and have him torment us from every angle and from every direction? Well, folks, listen, there is a reason that God is waiting to get rid of the devil. First of all, understand this. God created us in his image. Now, that being so, God created us, and we know this, God created us with a will. He wants us to choose. Now, I have used the illustration before, but you did not get a ball bat and pound it in your hand, look at your wife and say, now look, you are going to love me. All right, you did not do that, okay? You want her to choose to love you. Okay, it's just that simple. You don't want to force her into loving you. You want her to choose to love you. And so God made us that way, and he is that way. He wants us to choose to love him. He wants us to make the conscious decision that we are going to love him and serve him and let him be our God. And so you can rest assured that God has a plan for the devil and his minions. Why does God tolerate him? Why does God put up with him? I mean, he has lied to so many people. He has deceived and led multitudes of people right down to hell. And he has blinded the eyes of so many people with false gospels and false gods and false doctrines, which Paul calls the doctrine of demons. And I'm sure that each and every one of us has wished at some time or another that God would just go ahead and deal with him now and get it over with. There are some folks that say that the devil doesn't exist. And there are some folks that say that he is just a figure of speech that is used to explain the evil in this world. Some say that the devil is just a synonym for the bad and the misfortune that is inherent in the world. And certainly, that shallow thinking is exactly what pleases the devil the most. But you can be assured, my friend, the devil is real. And he knows what he's after and knows what he's doing. So I want to take a few minutes tonight, and I want to look at what Jesus and the Bible had to say about the devil. All right, now notice in verse 31. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. And I want you to know, folks, the devil wants you as well. All right, now just notice a couple of things with me. First of all, let's look at the teaching of the Lord Jesus. What did Jesus have to say about the devil? Well, the Lord Jesus reveals some very telling things about the devil and about his person and about his work. In the four Gospels, we are told the story of Jesus. And in the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we are told about the temptation that Jesus endured on our behalf. Now, he was tempted, but we later learn, and of course we know, he was tempted yet without sin. He had to endure temptation to know what it's like for us to have to go through temptation. And there were three different ways that the devil tempted the Lord Jesus to sin. He came at him through the three avenues of the flesh. He came at him through the lust of the eyes. He came at him through the lust of the flesh. And he came at him through the pride of life. And it must be noticed that Jesus resisted the devil by quoting scripture to him on each time he approached the Lord. That is always the way to resist the devil. And if we resist him, James tells us, he will flee from us. It was Spurgeon who said, when the devil knocks on the door of your heart, let the word of God answer the door, and the devil will run. And that is good advice. On another occasion, Jesus healed a blind man, and the man was blind and dumb, and he was possessed with devils. And the Pharisees saw this, and they then exclaimed to anybody that would listen to them that Jesus was casting out devils in the power of Satan. They said, this man is casting out devils, and Satan gave him the power to do so. And Jesus rebuked them and gave this argument. He said Satan would certainly not cast out Satan, right? Ain't no way that Satan would cast out Satan. And then the Lord continued to defend himself by saying, if a man was going to rob a house and there was a strong man that lived inside that house, would you not first bind that strong man and get him out of the way and then rob the house? And of course you would. And what the Lord was saying there is that as the Savior of the world, his purpose and his work is to bind Satan, to spoil his goods, and to deliver the souls of men out of his terrible clutches. Now, you will remember in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus mentioned the devil. He mentions the evil one. And we call it the Lord's Prayer. It's really the model prayer. And in that model prayer, Jesus said this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There you go. And Jesus has much to say about the devil all the way through the four Gospels. He calls him the prince of this world. He calls him a man's great enemy. He said that he was a murderer and a liar. As a matter of fact, Jesus said the devil is the father of lies. Think of that. He's the father of lies. In other words, lying started with him. Repeatedly, Jesus warned about the snares and about the pitfalls of the devil and warned people to be careful. And never was that warning any more clear than right here in this 31st verse of the 22nd chapter of Luke. Jesus warned Peter and told him, Satan hath desired you that he may sift you as wheat. You see, folks, the work of the devil is and always has been to do evil and to sow the seeds of evil. You remember in the interpretation that the Lord Jesus gave in of the parable of the sower. He said that as soon as that seed was sown, the devil came. He illustrated it with the seed being sown and birds coming and taking the seed before it can take root. And then in his interpretation of it, he said that the seed was sown in a man's heart, but then the devil came along and took that seed before it was able to produce fruit. And so we can see the truthfulness and authority of the Lord Jesus on the subject of Satan. The Lord Jesus believed that there was a real devil who was constantly at work, lying and destroying and deceiving men. All right, second thing I want you to see, I want us to look at Satan as a real, created, evil individual. I mean, the devil is just as wicked as it gets. He hates God and he hates man and is just out to destroy. It doesn't matter how he does it, he will do it with half a chance. Listen, folks, wherever man is, there you're going to find evil. It's just that way. I mean, it's just that way. Evil is as universal as human nature itself and as eternal as human history. I was watching a couple of weeks ago one of the evolution channels on TV. I don't know if it was Discovery or Animal Planet or History. I'm not sure which it was, or Science. I don't know. But it might have been the Science Channel, because they were talking about our universe, and they were talking about how they have found a planet that could probably sustain life, they say. Now, this planet is, of course, you got to realize it's a long way from here, and they think that based on their algorithms. Now, mind you, they've never seen this planet. All right. Nobody has ever gone there and flown around it, not once. But using their algorithms, they think this planet can sustain life and all this other malarkey that they were saying. And so I started to think, as they were talking about that, I started to think about how if there is life out there and they were to come to Earth and visit us, they would immediately realize upon meeting us that something was drastically wrong with us. They would. They would be here 5 minutes and look at one another and say, "We better get out of here. These people are nuts." And the reason we are nuts is because of sin. Now, folks, listen, don't go out of here and say, "Pastor thinks there's aliens in it from another." No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. I'm saying if. All right? I was just making the illustration. I do not believe that there are aliens out there. I don't believe that there are people somewhere else. No, I think we're it. Amen. We're it. But I just started to think about that. I thought, you know, if somebody were to come here, they would be around us for no time at all and realize something's wrong with us. What is it? I tell you what it is. We're bent toward sin. It is just our nature, folks. And what is wrong with us is that we are innately sinners against God. And since the beginning, generation after generation passes, but each successing generation is only ever evil continually. There is always on this planet, there is always Cain looking to kill Abel. There is always a Hitler. There is always a Vlad the Impaler. There is always a Napoleon. There is always somebody who will bring others into captivity and seek to control and dominate them with power. We never seem to learn and we never seem to improve. Here we are now in 2019, and we have people in Congress and people running for president of the United States who have never learned a single thing from history, and that is that socialism does not work. It is a devil doctrine. Write that down, folks. That's why it is fought against, because free people know what it is. But since the beginning of time, we just don't learn. As I've said to you before, the only thing we learn from history is that we don't ever learn anything from history. It's that simple. And that is the perpetual picture of human society. Listen, folks, wherever man builds a church, the devil comes along and puts up one of his chapels. It's just the way it works. I remember going to pastor school in Hammond, Indiana, and parking the car and walking down the street to go to the church. I had to park about two blocks away and to walk to the church and past three porn shops and four or five strip clubs before I got to the church. Why? Because wherever God is doing anything, the devil's got to come along and set up shop beside of it. It's just what he does. Where a good work or a good institution is built, there comes along some devil to sow evil seeds. I mean, eventually, unbelief creeps into every church, folks. I mean, it just does. You say, how do you explain that? I'll tell you how you explain it. It's called the sin nature of man. No matter where it is, eventually unbelief creeps in to the church. Freedom degenerates into tyranny over time. Education loses its absolutes and becomes an espouser of doubt. And wherever the wheat has been sown, the tares will soon begin to appear. Now, how do you explain this fact of universal sin and evil? How do you explain that? Well, it can only be explained by the fact that there is a real devil who is at work. And the Lord Jesus said so in the parable of the wheat and the tares. I mean, when the servants of the husbandman came to him in surprise, and they told him that not only did they have a field that with wheat in it, but they also had tares growing there. And they were shocked, you will remember, because they said to the master, they said, we don't understand this. How can this be? How can there be tares in the field? We did not plant the tares, they said. And the explanation that Jesus gave was this. He said, an enemy hath done this. An enemy hath done this. You ever notice in your garden, those of you that have a garden, you don't have to plant weeds, they just come up. Oh yeah, you got to pull the weeds. And if you don't pull the weeds and weed that garden, the weeds will overtake your garden and choke it. It will not produce. You've got to keep the weeds out of it. And that is the explanation of what we see going on in our world today. How can you look at what Hitler and the Nazis did in killing 6 million plus Jews? How can you look at that and not believe in a real devil? How can you do that? How can you look at the human trafficking and the forced prostitution that goes on in our world and the brutality of pedophilia that is so rampant all over our world today? How can you look at the killing of babies in the womb and not believe in a real devil? You see, folks, the work of the church is to declare war on the kingdom of Satan. And when the Lord Jesus appeared on the road to Damascus, he sent Paul out to preach the gospel, and he told him his work would be this. He said to open the eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. You see, folks, the devil is powerful. He is cunning. He is wise. He is resourceful and an untiring enemy who is constantly after the souls of men. The devil is after you. And then thirdly, I want you to notice what Jesus had to say about the devil and the soul of man. Satan agrees with Christ in his highest evaluation of the soul. Christ was willing to invest his life, his precious blood, in the salvation of just one soul. Just one soul. And he said, when that one single soul is saved, whenever any sinner repents, Jesus said, there's joy among the angels in heaven. And in the same manner, folks, Satan exerts all his energies, his cunning and his mastery to gain possession of even one soul. The Lord Jesus knew this was what Satan was doing here in our text. He knew that the devil was trying to get Peter. You see, the Lord knew that Peter was going to stand up on the day of Pentecost and preach, and 3,000 people were going to get saved. The Lord knew that Peter was going to deny him. As a matter of fact, you just read down a couple more verses and you'll see that Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me. And Peter did deny him. He did. But he also knew, because he told him, he said, now when you are converted, in other words, when you get your heart right, when you get your heart right, he said, I want you to do great things for me. But in the same manner, folks, Satan exerts all his energies, and he was coming after the Apostle Peter right here, doing his best and launching his best attack to sift Peter as wheat. And brethren, rest assured, that is the same attack that the devil uses when he comes at you and at me. He wants to sift us. He wants to put us through the ringer. He wants to remove our defenses slowly and progressively, day by day, minute by minute, until he sees his opportunity and then he strikes. Let me remind you, he brought down Noah with drunkenness. Let me remind you, he toppled Moses through anger. He knocked David to the ground by lust. He got Balaam and Gehazi and Demas and Judas Iscariot and Ananias through the love of money. And he got Peter with fear. He got John Mark with homesickness. And I could just go on and on and on and name you victim after victim. And my question is, what weapon has the devil turned on you? What is it? The world? Do you have a heart like Demas that loves the world more than you love God? Oh, the devil knows that. And boy, he'll bang you over the head with the world every chance he gets. What is it? Is it beer? Is it beer? Of course, I ran off everybody this morning. It drinks the beer.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Folks, I don't care how you slice it. You can argue with me till the cows come home. I'm not changing. Amen. I've seen what it does. It ruins and destroys. I've seen what it does. Man, I've gone to the hospital when the wife was beat to a pulp because some drunken husband came home and beat the tar out of her. I've stood by the bedside of that home. I've been to the car wrecks. I've had that call, Pastor, can you come? And here's some drunk driver out there slams into a family and kills them. I've been there. I've had to deliver that news. You can't tell me it's all right. No, sir. No, sir. If it's not all right, why are there so many laws regulating it? Why isn't it just everywhere? Huh? Why is it you can't get it at McDonald's down here? I mean, if it's that good, if it's that wonderful of a product, why can't you go over to Burger King, get a Whopper? Why can't you go get a Whopper and a big old beer to go with it? If it's so good, no, it's regulated. Because the government, listen, why are there laws against driving and drinking? Why? You say, well, it's wrong, that's why. Amen. It'll kill people, that's why, and it'll kill you. Yeah, right. But you want to sit here and argue with me about this? What weapons he turned on you? Pornography? Huh? What weapon? What weapon does he have aimed at your heart? You say, well, Pastor, how can I fight him? Well, let me tell you this. Sticks and stones don't faze him. It's not going to do you any good to get a gun and try to kill him. Bullets go right through him. You're going to need something else to fight this awful enemy. You say, well, Pastor, what can I use against him? I mean, yeah, he's after me. I know that he's after me, and I can tell you, yes, he is. You say, well, what do I use against him? Why don't you use what Jesus did? I mean, every time he comes and knocks at the door of your heart, let the word of God answer the door. All three times the devil came at Jesus, all three times Jesus quoted scripture to the devil. And the devil turned around and misquoted scripture to Jesus. Oh, he knows his Bible. And he can't stand it when you use the Bible. Three times Jesus said, Satan, it is written. You see, the devil hates the Bible. And Paul said, the Bible is our sword of the Spirit. And when you and I quote the Bible to the devil, we are cutting him asunder. Another way to fight him is with prayer. He don't like prayer. Oh, no. He does not like prayer at all. This is one weapon the devil has never been able to conquer. He don't know what to do with it. Prayer is the point of the spear that pierces through the devil's best shield. He cannot stand before a praying child of God. He just cannot do it. And then thirdly, we fight the devil by keeping ourselves close to God. You see, that's how old David messed up. Instead of doing what he was supposed to do and go to battle, he stayed at home. He stayed at home. And that's what got him in trouble. That's what got him in trouble. Folks, we got to stay close to the Lord. Let me remind you, the scriptures teach us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he that is in the world is Satan. So you stay close to God. If our faith and our trust are in Christ, greater is he that is in us. It's just that simple. And I trust God will help us to defeat the devil as he attacks us daily. Let me remind you, resist the devil and he will flee. May God help us to do that.